So then you went up on Skylab 4. Before the launch, are you nervous?
I didn't think I was too nervous, but in the first place, I didn't think we were going to go. We had so much trouble with the booster. It seems to me to be a low probability that we were going to make the launch because we had had so much trouble with this booster. It wasn't until they said 30 seconds and counting that I thought, hey, we got a good chance of going. When those engines light off, that's really loud. Then you have the vibration, and then you have the accelerations caused by the maneuvering of the engines. My job was to read out to the computer our velocity and our altitude. And I had a graph chart, and I was supposed to make sure that we weren't getting too high or too low. Very quickly, I learned I could read the computer screen, but I couldn't go in to use the graph because
it was shaking so much.
And so I said, well, I'll just put the checklist on my chest. If the engine stops, then we'll do whatever is called for.
Finally, you're getting up into zero gravity?
Well, yes.
Then everything is quiet?
Right.
Is it just the floating sensation? Tell us about that.
Well, it's really weird. I got a kind of a strange feeling in my head. I don't know what that was. Now, the top stage is a nice, smooth ride. But when you're down, until you get above about 50,000 feet, it's still pretty rough.
Wasn't that ever assimilated before your flight so that you knew that?
No, they had a sort of simulation of it with the audio system in the simulator. But it's not anywhere close to the real thing.
How long does it take then for you to get to that peaceful part of the flight?
Probably about 3 minutes.
You remember your first view of the Earth's horizon?
Yeah, I can see the horizon. I was really surprised how thin that atmospheric band is. It's really very thin.
It had to be a thrill to see that.
Oh, yeah. After about 2 or 3 days, you get used to it. I mean, it's no longer novel. The next big experience you have is when you go out on a spacewalk.
Part of the longest manned flight. 84 days, 1 hour, and 15 minutes, but who's counting?
That's right.
Who were you accompanied by out there?
Jerry Carr was the commander, and Ed Gibson was the scientist pilot.
You completed 56 experiments.
I lost track.
26 science demonstrations.
Okay.
15 subsystem detailed objectives, 13 student investigations, and you made 1,214 revolutions of the Earth.
Yeah.
Is there any piece of knowledge that you discovered?
Well, the solar physics, the studies of the sun, I think probably contributed more than anything else. Again, we couldn't study the corona until we got out in space. There are other things to look at, but that was an outstanding experience. The student experiments were interesting. I forget how many we had, but there were quite a few of them. You know, I'm talking about the zodiacal light earlier. But there's also a phenomenon that occurs. If you look at a spot 60 degrees ahead of the Earth and 60 degrees behind the Earth, there's a, I call it a space parking lot. Because of the effect of three bodies, the spacecraft and Earth, and then you have the attraction at these points, if you put something there, gravitational forces are such that it'll stay there. They've not documented them in Earth orbit. But they have been able to do this at Jupiter because Jupiter is a lot bigger. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's interesting.
Did space affect your body measurement?
Yes. The first 3 days, you go through an adaptation period. Your torso length increases 2 inches. You lose 3 pounds.
So what you do is you grow taller and you lose weight.
That's correct. They didn't know this. We did the first full set of body measurements on Skylab 4. They called us up about 2 or 3 days later, said, you guys have grown over 2 inches in height. That was all well and good, but our suits were custom fitted at Dover, Delaware, in 1G. And when you get that extra height, it has an effect on you. We had grown, but the suits had not. It makes the suit fit bad.
Do you think the Skylab missions were as important as moon landing missions?
Probably more. It was new knowledge.
It's all this knowledge you were able to gain from Skylab that obviously landing on the moon did not. Our mission there was just to land on the moon.
Well, they did a lot more than that, but I had occasion once to guide a visiting group of senators from Egypt. This was before the first lunar landing. And this one lady senator pulled me over to the side and says, "You've got to get to the moon and land first before the Russians." She said, "If you don't do that, we'll never hear the end of it." I had never even thought about that. There's a lot of value in the prestige that you generate by doing these things.
84 days in Skylab. Does that get trying? Saying, "I got to get out of here"?
No. They take care of that because they keep you so busy. They scheduled us at a higher rate than they did the other crews. They gave us the task to perform that the other crews had achieved at the end of, say, 2 months. So they started us out at the same pace that those people had achieved at the end of 2 months.
Why is that?
It was a stupid mistake, is what it was. The flight activities officer is the person that does this, and they schedule your activities. But we did not have a chance to grow into the role, so to speak. It was 6 weeks before they discovered that they had started us out at an unachievable rate.
Yet you achieved it for the most part?
Well, we made mistakes. But if they hadn't have done that, if it had let us grow into the role, you had to learn to walk before you run.